We see the church of Smyrna being one that is not rebuked, and so we see that we have a shorter message this morning, a shorter scripture, but that is good, folks. This is real good. But as we stop and we read the scripture this morning, I want us to stop and think, if you'd have been in the church of Smyrna and you had received this little note, this little paragraph, basically is what it is, a couple paragraphs, of from our Lord, which John had written, then you might just kind of glance at it and say, well, I'm not, you know, okay, I got you, but I'm not spending a lot of time looking at that, because he's not rebuking us. He's not saying we're doing anything wrong. But there's a lot to be said right here, folks. So we take just a moment and let's look at this message to the church in Smyrna. It says in the 8th verse, write this letter to the angel of the church in Smyrna. This is the message from the one who is the first and the last, who was dead but is now alive. I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say they are Jews, but they are not, because their synagogue belongs to Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days. But if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. And whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, as we take a look at this scripture, we think, well, you know, okay, he's looking at the church, and he's saying, I know about your suffering and your poverty, but he says, but you are rich. I know those that are opposing you. So, folks, we got to stop and think about the church of Smyrna. Smyrna was a port town. It was a wealthy place. It had a lot of money coming and going out of this city every day. So we see that this money is flowing, but the church and the people that are in the church are basically poor. They do not have the money that others have. And so they're wondering to themselves, you know, I wonder why we don't do as well as others do. And God knew this. He knew their hearts. He knew their mind. And he knew what they were thinking. And so he's writing this little letter and saying to them, but you are so rich. You are so rich. Folks, today you may not have a nickel in your pocket, but if you know your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and if you have a relationship with him, you are so rich. That is what he was saying to him. It's not about anything about the money that you could have or would desire to have. I know there's somebody that's rich this morning because they hit that $1 billion lottery yesterday. I did hear that. And I know they've probably got a little bit different perspective on life this morning than they did yesterday. But if they were a Christian, how would they be thinking? What would they be doing? Would they be willing to give to others? Would they be willing to share? What would they be willing to do? And so, folks, we see that these people that were in the church, they were being persecuted. They were not thought of as people that are in living in the big houses and taking in all the money. They were thought of as less. But it says, I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say they are Jews, but they're not, because the synagogue belongs to Satan. Oh my gosh, in the day that we're living in today, Jesus was not politically correct, was he? No, I mean, they would be really wanting to hang him up, you know, because he's talking about the synagogue being of the devil. He says, I know these people are not who they say they are. They were basically folks, they were Gentiles that had maybe converted to Judaism so that they would not be punished by the government of Rome. So where are we at today in our churches? Where are we at today as Christians? We today are not being persecuted for being here, you might say today, but folks, it's coming. That when they will be telling you, you can and cannot do this and that and the other. I don't know if y'all saw or not, but the lady that walked up in front of the abortion clinic, and she wasn't even praying out loud. She was just standing there with her head bowed. And the law came, and they said, you're not praying. You're not standing there praying, are you? She said, yes, I am. This is about 2 weeks ago. Some of y'all know about it, some don't. They said, well, you'll have to come and go with us. You cannot stand in front of this abortion clinic and pray. And so they arrested her. Persecution is coming to all of us. Because we as people, we sit silent and we do not say anything or do anything. And we don't want to talk about the persecution that we see happening around us in the Christian world. And so therefore, they keep pushing in and causing us to be in a bad situation, a situation of persecution. But Jesus said, I know all these people that are in the synagogue over here, and they're only there because they don't want to be persecuted. They're only there so that they can stay out of trouble with Rome. And so he says, I know every one of them. And the synagogue is of Satan. It's not of me. Folks, you ever been in a church where you feel like the church is of Satan? Amen. I'm telling you, I have sat in some churches where it felt so cold. It felt so weird. I hope you haven't, but I have. I sat in a church one time, one night, where I could feel the Lord telling me to get up and leave. But did I? No, I didn't. But when you're feeling that the Lord is telling you to do something, you need to respond. I should have left. I should have left, but I didn't. You see, folks, every church that has the name church wrote over it is not a church of God. They can be a church of the devil. They can be a church for the world. They can be teaching the worldly things instead of teaching the godly things. And so Jesus is saying that this synagogue belongs to Satan. These people are not part of my world. They're not going to inherit anything that I have to offer. Well, you see that this was happening. If you look back, and I didn't put it on the board or anything, so y'all just listen to me just a minute. If you look back to Acts 18, verse 17, starting with verse 17, so let's just back up a little bit further. Let's back up to 12, Acts 18, 12, and let's just look at Paul. Paul is being treated the same way that they're talking about here at the church of Smyrna. Things are fixing to happen to you at the church of Smyrna, they're saying. Things are happening. Things are going to happen. Things are going to happen in the world that you're living in, folks, because we are no different than them. It tells us in the Bible that persecution will come, and it tells us that we will suffer some of these things. So if you look at Acts 18, 12, let's start right there. And when I may pronounce this wrong, I don't know, but when, let's back up to 9. Let's just look at it just a little further. And it says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, don't be afraid, speak out, don't be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack and harm you. For many people in this city belong to me. there's many followers in this city now, and they belong to me. So Paul stayed there for the next year and a half teaching the word of God. But when Gallio became governor of Achaia, which is now Greece, some Jews rose up together against Paul and brought him before the governor for judgment. And they accused Paul of persuading people to worship God in ways that were contrary to their own law. And so, but just as Paul started to make his defense, Gallio turned in Paul's accusers and said, "Listen, you Jews, if there were a case involving some wrongdoing or serious crime, I would have a reason to accept your case. But since it's merely a question of words and names and your Jewish law, you take care of it yourself. I refuse to judge such matters." And he threw them out of the courtroom. And then the crowd grabbed Sothenes, the leader of the synagogue, and they beat him right there in the courtroom. But Gallio paid no attention. He just left them alone. Now, if you look over into 1 Corinthians, the very first chapter, very first verse, it mentions this, how you say that?
Sothenes.
Brian has got it down better than me. But so it mentions him as quite possibly even maybe being the secretary for Paul during that time. So we see that he was probably a convert a little bit later on. Well, you might be too if somebody grabbed you and was trying to beat it into you or something, you know, or beat you for doing it. But so that's where that is going right there. Paul was being judged. Paul was being persecuted for what he was teaching. They said Paul was teaching against the government, that he was teaching that there was another king besides Caesar, I think it was. He wasn't. He was teaching that Jesus Christ was the king. That did not have anything to do with the government there at that time. He was teaching that the same thing we're teaching today, that Jesus Christ is the king of all kings, that he will be our final king, just as we read this morning. He holds the key of both hell and life. So we see that it is just as real, folks, as what this letter is saying. He's saying to them, don't be afraid. And he was telling Paul not to be afraid. He says, of what you're about to suffer, the devil will throw some of you in prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days, but if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. So last week, Brian was reading into the church of Ephesus, and in the seventh verse, what did it say? It says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. And here he's saying that you remain faithful and I will give you the crown of life. You see, folks, the fruit from the tree that he was talking about in the seventh verse, Brian was talking about last week, that tree that he's talking about, it was in the Garden of Eden, but they didn't partake of that tree because they were full of what? Sin. That was what they're full of. But in the last, when it's over, and when God is at the end and he is the king of everything, he says you will be given the fruit from this tree of life, and it lives in the paradise of God. So he has full control of this tree. He has full control of this crown that he's going to give you, the crown of life. But folks, only are you going to receive this fruit of this tree, and only are you going to receive this crown and if you're a child of his. And so he goes on to say, if you're faithful, you'll get the crown of life. He says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. The second death. A lot of people hear that. They wondered, are we going to die twice? Mike, are we? What is the second death? Where are we going to be at the second death? Folks, this is why we're here. This is why we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's because that we do not die a second death. Dwight Moody said that a lot of people are born once and they die twice. A lot of people are born twice and they die once. Amen. And we have been born twice, and we're going to die once. It is going to be for those that do not know their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That second death will be for them. It will be that they will be placed into a place of hell or Hades or whatever you want to call it. And there will be, it will be forever. It will be a second death, folks. But for us, the people that are here, the people that are all throughout the world, the people that are being called children of God, there will be no second death. There will only be one. Because God is giving us a crown of life. He is giving us fruit from the tree of life. It's forever, folks. Our life will never die. We might change addresses, but we're not going to die. We're going to just be here, and then we're going to be with the Lord. And so Paul tells us this. It's talked about throughout the Bible. But we need to know and understand that you and your family and your friends and the people that you work with, they need to know that this is for real. Because if it is not for real, then this Bible is not true. But it's telling us that it's true. It tells us that we have to be born again. We have to be a child of God. God has to know you. He has to have your name written in the Lamb Book of Life. So, folks, I hope everybody here today has made that arrangement to have your name written in that book. Because there's so many people I see every day that doesn't. They just don't. And they don't want their name in the book. They're happy with the way they live. They're happy with the flow of money that's coming through their hands. They're happy with everything that's going on in their life. They don't want to change a thing. Y'all have heard me say before, Tammy said one day, did you get a lottery ticket tonight? I said, no, it was up. It never had gotten the billions. It was in the millions. I said, no, I didn't get one. She said, well, I thought you'd stop and pick one up. You know, I mean, this is the highest it's ever been. I said, baby, I like my life. I don't want a lottery ticket. Because then I'd have to have Tommy, the first thing, to get me a bunch of insurance. And because there'd be all kinds of people hitting us from every direction. But I said, I love my life. I don't have anything. I don't need anything. I want a bunch of stuff. I can't say I don't want some stuff, Kenny, but I want a bunch of stuff. But I don't need anything, folks. It's a wonderful, wonderful life that God has given to us and allowing us to live. The grandest thing of this whole life that I get to live is being able to be called a disciple of His and to work for Him and to be able to take His message out into the world each and every day. Folks, it's wonderful. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. I know Brian, he don't ever talk about it, but I guarantee you, he sees every day, he sees families that do not know the Lord, and they are burying a loved one. I guarantee you he does. It's not for us to judge, but we know that that's happening. We know because we can see the pain and the hurt. Yes, it's there for all of us. But, folks, it is so much easier when we know that that loved one is not suffering that second death. Isn't that wonderful? So it's our job. Just as much as it is the preacher's or Paul's or anyone else, it's our job to take this message that he was writing to the church that Jesus had given John. Take this message to the church. Take it to another church. Ask the people in another church that you may love or that may be attending another church. What's your church like? What's your church doing to make sure that it's on the right track? But it's basically saying, don't fear. Don't be afraid, folks, of what might be coming. Don't be afraid of anything that might happen to you. Be faithful. Now, if I get thrown in jail for 10 days and Brian don't, I'm hoping Brian's going to be faithful enough to come and see me and bring me a snack of some sort. If they'll let him get it in there, you know. But I'm just saying, he can come pray with me if he can't get me a snack. You can come pray with me if you can't get me a snack. I need a snack. But this is what we're saying, folks. We have to be faithful in doing God's word. If we have part of our church in prison, the other part of our church should be in prayer. We should be doing everything possible to make their life easier, the ones that are there. We should not be just sitting real still and real quiet because we're scared that the same thing will happen to us. Because Jesus says, then you belong to the temple of Satan. Folks, it is a time that we're living in where things are totally different than they ever was in my life. We all know that. If you're 60 plus years old, you can look back and say things are so much different than they were when we was a kid. And we know it's changing. It's changing every day. Every day. And it's changing a whole lot because we allow it to change. We allow it. We don't stand for God and we don't tell the people like Jesus did that you're just a synagogue of the devil. You're not of me. We're afraid to speak out. What people might think of us, they might think we're crazy. They might think that what little friends that I might have might say, I don't want to have anything to do with him. So we have to be very careful. We think about what we talk about and how we say it. But folks, the main thing we need to be talking about every day is Jesus Christ. You know, yesterday we was talking with this gentleman and he was talking about who was the godliest men, some of the godliest men that he'd ever known or seen. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I'm not in that category. I'm not. Are you in that category? Do people see you as the godliest person that they've ever seen? They don't even talk about me when they talk about that. Because they don't. There's a lot of people that continues to like to look at my past life instead of the life that I'm trying to live now. And so they don't see a godly man. They see someone probably thinking that they thinking, and that may be the way that everybody sees Mike Wimberly, I don't know, that he's in an act. He's trying to act this thing out. So that's what we're seeing. But folks, when people are against you, when people are talking about you for what you have done or what you're doing in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's one of the godliest things that you can do. One of the godliest. And you know, when we started Grace Life Church, there's a lot of people talked about me. But it don't matter. Because it was for God. And it was for His purpose. that we've done, everything we've done, it wasn't anything to do with Mike Wimberly or Brian Wimberly. It didn't have anything to do with us. We wanted to take this message into the community that I don't think you're hearing in other churches. Some you are, but not all of them. And so we don't want to be that Jesus or God would ever think that we was on Satan's side. We want our heart to be filled with His love, and we want to be filled with this relationship that grows greater and greater and deeper every day. And so we stop and we think about ourselves. If it comes down to it, folks, and they begin to persecute the church here in the United States, are you going to stay home on Sunday? Are you coming to be with me and Brian? Are you going to be one that decides that I think I'm just going to be quiet? I think I'm not going to be into this any deeper. Maybe I won't get persecuted. Maybe I won't nobody say anything to me. And I can stay home and I can have church out here under the hickory tree. That's true. You can. But will people know you as being a follower of Christ when things continue to come down and they begin to make decisions about Christians? And it will happen because the Bible tells us it will. Where will we be? Will we be known as godly people? Or will we be known as someone that's just trying to ride the middle and we want God, we want to keep God happy? But we really do not want to go to jail. Folks, think about it. Think about it as we come into every year we get deeper into this, living in this world. We know that this is changing and happening. So think about it. Where are you going to be when the changes happen? Where will you be standing that day when the changes happen? Folks, I hope that we are standing with Jesus. We do not face that second death. And I hope that we'll be standing there ready to receive the crown of life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.